This is the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
First and 10 Patriots from their own one-yard line. Look at this. Brady's going to go with an empty backfield. Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Patriots post-game show, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots take care of the Philadelphia Eagles at the link, 38-20. Patriots move to 8-3 on the season. One of three teams at the top of the AFC, along with Houston and Baltimore, with eight victories, though the Steelers play tonight. They can get there as well. Patriots show their resiliency in this one, though. They fall behind 10-0 early. And then Tom Brady goes to work as the Patriots go on a 12-play, 80-yard drive to pull back within 10-7. And you're sitting there going, okay, we have a football game on our hands. Rob Ninkovich gets a sack on the Eagles' third drive, forces a three and out for Philadelphia. And then the Patriots go on a 4-play, 61-yard drive, including that 63-yard play, improvised between Brady and Branch down the field. Green Ellis punches it in for his second touchdown run at that point. Patriots could have created more separation, but a missed field goal was mixed in there. And then the Patriots do spread it out. A 41-yard touchdown to Wes Welker on just total blown coverage from the Eagles. Patriots tack on a field goal before the half to be up 24-13. And then on the first drive of the second half, as it seems they do just about every week, Tom Brady finds Wes Welker for a 9-yard touchdown, 8 plays, 69 yards, and from there, the route was on. As again, the Patriots moved to 8-3. But I think that's something to take away from this one, how the Patriots bounce back from being down in a hole early on the road to just totally taking the crowd out of that football game. If you were watching on TV, you could hear in that stadium the crowd getting on DeSean Jackson, calling for Andy Reid's head. You could really hear it in that stadium today, but it speaks to the Patriots and their ability to, with their backs against the wall, answer that opening punch from the Philadelphia Eagles as they down Philadelphia 38-20 and move to 8-3 on the season. Here's how you get in touch with the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. But want to kick it off, as we do each and every week here on patriots.com, with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
We told you Tom Brady went to work in this one. Really, outside of that opening drive for the Patriots, he was lights out all night. 24-34, 361 yards, three touchdowns in this game. Also added 28 yards on the ground, just for good measure. And Tom Brady answers the critics, myself included, all week, sitting there looking at Brady and saying, is he healthy? These slow starts, what does it have to do with, you know, the wrap on his throwing elbow? Is it elbow tendonitis? Is it something more? There was a report this week in the Boston Herald where Karen Garigian tracked down Brady's quarterback guru, Tom Martinez, who acknowledged that it seemed like Brady was dealing with something. And I'll tell you what, he silenced all the critics, again, myself included, this week. He looked 100% healthy in that game. That's as good as we've seen him in a couple of weeks. Also on the good list, that Patriots third down defense. That fluctuates from week to week. Red zone defense has been consistent all year, but the third down defense, especially when the game mattered, the Eagles tacked on some cosmetic yards, some cosmetic conversions as the game wore on. But the Patriots started out by forcing the Eagles three and out at halftime. The first five times the Patriots were on third down, Eagles didn't convert on a third down until late in that third quarter. And also on their opening drive of the second half, the Eagles couldn't convert on a fourth and one from the two-yard line, as Vince Young just overthrew Brent Celek in the end zone. So the Patriots buckling down defensively when it mattered most, specifically on third down. And I also have Matt Light on my good list. He's someone who last week, on the Patriots postgame show. We're sitting there going, is he going to play? Is he going to be lost for the season? And you know what? He was out there for most of this football game at left tackle. So Matt Light on the good list as well. On the bad for the Patriots, their start, their defensive intensity. And you look at the way the Eagles started this game. First play, 22 yards to Brent Celek, James ahead of Bowen coverage. Two plays later, 58-yard bomb from Vince Young to Riley Cooper. That was on Kyle Arrington. Eagles wound up punching in a touchdown from 2 yards out by Shady McCoy. Gave him a 7-0 lead. Next drive, same deal, 44-yard bomb from Young to DeSean Jackson over Antoine Molden. And you're sitting there going, okay, where is this defensive intensity from the Patriots? They did buckle down on third down, though it was a drop from McCoy on third and 10. But the Patriots dug themselves in that immediate 10-0 hole. They answered the bell, but that was disappointing to see him start the game that way. Steven Gostkowski on the bad list as well. We've seen him miss some field goals this season. And this one from 39 yards out, that was a point where at the time it was a 14-10 game, midway through the second quarter. And the Patriots stay stuck on that number. And there was a chance for the momentum to go back to the Eagles. And the Patriots ultimately got the stops necessary. But a missed field goal from Gostkowski. And I don't even know if you remember this, because it was so long ago. But that drop play by Tyquan Underwood, it was right before the 63-yard bomb from Brady to Branch. That drop by Tyquan Underwood, that was a sure touchdown. Made Patriots fans long for Chad Ochocinco in this football game. And trust me, we'll get to Ochocinco later on in the Patriots postgame show as well here on Patriots.com with Adam Jones. I do want to touch on the injured as well. Sebastian Vollmer, what the team called an ankle injury. They were looking at his foot at one point on the sideline. He did not return to the game after suffering that injury. Neither did Antoine Molden after getting shaken up, though that may have been because the game was out of hand. So those are two guys who got hurt and didn't return, Vollmer and Molden. A couple of guys who were shaken up and returned, James Ahedebo, who's been dealing with a shoulder injury all season, came right back, didn't even miss a play. And also Rob Gronkowski, he was shaken up after a big hit early on in the game, which typical Philadelphia fans cheered it after Gronkowski took that hit, but came back on after missing one play. Those were all the players shaken up in this one. For the New England Patriots, they take care of the Eagles in Philadelphia, 38-20, and again, move to 8-3. They are more than all alone atop the division. And really in the mix with Baltimore and Houston and Pittsburgh, who plays tonight, for that top seed in the AFC. We'll get to the phones here. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We kick it off with Tim down in Pensacola, Florida. You're first up here on the Patriots postgame show. What's up, Tim?
Pac-Man, you know, I'm in such a good mood today. You know, usually I call and I say, oh, although we do good, let me point to some negatives. You know what, Pac-Man? No negatives for me today. Instead, I have two comments on the Patriots and the Eagles, and then I have a question to just get your thoughts on, and I'll let you go. First, with the Eagles, I heard from sources that they were booing, calling for Andy Reid to be fired. I don't know if they're going to fire Andy Reid, but they need to fire Wonka Steele. I mean, with all that talent, that dude has no business being a defensive coordinator in the NFL. Two, with the Patriots, Underwood, unless Price is hurt, and maybe he is, but you know what? At this point, this just shows me the guy that they just got off the street and started ahead of him. They have no faith. I think Price is young. He has a lot of talent, speed, and can catch the ball. The Patriots obviously don't want him. Just release him and let him go to a team that will use him. And my question to you is, I've heard a lot of talks about a team being interested in T.O., and they've narrowed it down to an AFC team, and I know Rosenhaus represents other players on this team, and they were talking, the rumor on Pro Football Talk now is that that team could possibly be the New England Patriots. I wouldn't mind having him. I wouldn't expect much from him. The second he starts opening his mouth, I would cut him. But what are your thoughts on that? And I'll let you go. Thanks a lot, Pac-Man.
All right, well, thanks for the phone call. And, you know, you look at it, and I don't know. I think T.O., I saw these rumors earlier, Rosenhaus is on the sidelines at this Patriots game earlier tonight. Is that something worth reading into? I don't know. I have a hard time believing it, to tell you the truth, that the Patriots would try to get someone up to speed when they can't even get Ochocinco up to speed in the offense. I have a hard time buying that one, to tell you the truth. But I've seen the rumors as well. We can verify that Andy Reid getting booed and fans calling for Andy Reid's head saying, fire Andy, over the course of the game. And that was not for Andy Hart. That was for Andy Reid that the fans were calling for in that one. Juan Castillo, can't imagine he's going to survive the season, even if Reid survives this season in Philadelphia. Finally, on Underwood and Price and how the Patriots divvied up that third receiver, that was interesting tonight. I don't think it's an injury issue for Taylor Price. He's told reporters time and again he's healthy. He was out on the field last week. So I don't think it's an injury for Taylor Price. You know, it's hard to believe that you can sign someone like Tyquan Underwood, plug him right in there off the street, but that's what it appears to be. And by the way, on Ocho Cinco, a lot of eye-rolling at that injury and deactivation. You know, Garigian was one reporter who doesn't totally buy that he was hurt this week.
Yeah!
Mike Reese, someone normally very balanced, and when he levies criticism, there's normally, it's not out of nowhere, let's put it that way, with Mike Reese. And he today tweets out his thoughts from around the NFL leading into the game, and he said he was surprised to see over the course of the week someone like Chad Ochocinco pop up with an injury late in the week and then be deactivated. That doesn't typically happen in New England. So Mike Reese, another one of those Patriots reporters looking at that Chad Ochocinco injury and subsequent deactivation, I should say, with raised eyebrows. So that's something we'll hit on as well over the course of the program on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. It's just interesting to see the Patriots and how they deal with that third wide receiver spot. It's been an issue for them all season. However, you look at the Patriots tonight, and their wide receivers really broke out. This wasn't a tight ends game per se, though Hernandez and Gronkowski, you look at the final numbers, I think they're a bit misleading. Gronkowski with that late touchdown. But tonight, mostly about Welker and Branch, 125 yards for Branch. That 63-yarder was a thing of beauty. And they replayed it. They did a nice job on CBS, Deardorff breaking it down, where Brady waves to Branch. Branch goes down the field and really should have got into the end zone. How he didn't is beyond me. But that 63-yard play, very representative of Branch and Brady being on the same page. And obviously, Wes Welker, immense in this one. Just his first touchdown, and that was when the Patriots started going into that hurry-up offense. That first touchdown, total blown coverage by the Eagles. Eagles totally selling out against the run, which underscores, and I thought this was important early in the game, and I meant to touch on this off the top. I thought Green Ellis ran well. Like, you look at those final numbers, 14 carries for 44 yards, and you go, meh, so-so day from Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. But I got to tell you, I thought the run was there in the beginning of that football game. I thought it made the Eagles at least be honest on defense, and it's part of the reason a play-action touchdown like Welker got early in the game, it's part of the reason the defense will bite on that play. So I thought Green Ellis looked good, especially on those first couple of drives for the New England Patriots. We'll get back to the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Dan in Oklahoma. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. What's up, Dan? Hey, Dan. All right, we'll stick Dan back on hold. Let's try Joel down in Atlanta. What's going on, Joel?
What's going on, Adam?
How you doing, man?
Hanging in there. It was a great Patriots win. What I wanted to comment on, you already said it, you know, about Chad Ocho. I was wondering, where was he? I mean, if he was deactivated, what I'm assuming is what's going to happen. It sounds like the Patriots will probably release him by Tuesday. That's just my thoughts on it. And also, I want to add somebody to your bad list.
Sure.
Can we add CBS to your bad list from changing the game from the Pats to Denver?
Okay, so I got an email about this, and I got to be honest, I didn't see that here in the studio because we had the game on CBS the entire time. We didn't lose the feed here. So, Joel, you're not the first person to point that out. That's not the way it played out for us in this studio, but apparently, Kevin, CBS cut out of the Patriots game and went to the Denver-San Diego game. And I got to tell you, I know you guys want to watch
which
the Patriots.
Which is still going on, by the way.
I know you guys want to watch the Patriots, but it was 38-13 or whatever it was when they cut out. Like, I get it. You want to see the Patriots. You want to see Vereen and Ridley and some of these other, you know, other players on the two deep in this football game. I get it. But 38-13, I don't know. Don't you kind of want to see some of the other close games around the NFL, as Kevin just said? That Broncos-Chargers game's still going on.
Yeah, Novak just missed a potential game-winning field goal
right
there.
It's hard for me to get on CBS for flipping into a better game.
No, I don't
and again,
disagree at
that
all.
Did not happen here in studio, so I didn't see it that way. We had the Patriots game right until the final whistle. 508-298-0398, that's the Eats Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Vin in Oklahoma. You're next up here on Patriots or the Patriots postgame show. What's up, Vin?
Yeah, first of all, I want to give a hats off to this. Patriots for taking care of Vince Young, an ex-Texas quarterback. You know, I mean, being from Oklahoma, that, you know, kind of felt good there.
Little hat tip there, yeah.
The other thing is, you know, I have to make a comment. I heard, you know, on the last game when the Patriots played Kansas City, how the announcer said that, you know, yards Patriots are like last in yardage. And yardage don't show up on the scoreboard. You know, but today, Phil, I mean, they made a point that the Patriots are 10th in scoring, which I'm sure that's going to go up after, you know, this week after shutting Philly down to 13 points. But, I mean, I just think that, you know, Belichick doesn't get enough credit sometimes with the media when you're watching the TV and they're saying the Patriots are last, 32nd in defense in the NFL. I mean, you know, big play. Wouldn't you credit that more that Patriots just give up more big plays than any other team? I mean, most of the time you can't get burned on long passes and stuff, but they never give up.
I mean, Vin, yes and no, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Look, I think today is an interesting one because you sit there and you go, on balance, the defense actually played all right in this game. I think the final numbers are very misleading for the Eagles. I will tell you that. You know, Vince Young, a lot of people are going to look at it and say he threw it for 400 yards, and they're going to say, well, there's that Patriots secondary getting carved up again. And honestly, outside of the first drive, really, or the first two drives, because, again, big plays on the first two drives for the Eagles right out of the chute. First play from scrimmage, 22 yards to Brent Celek. Two plays later, 58 yards to Riley Cooper. You know, second drive, 44-yarder to DeSean Jackson. Really, other than that, I thought the Patriots secondary played all right. And you look at it, they held the Eagles to 4 of 13 on third downs. They got that big fourth down stop to start the second half. They forced a turnover where there was a ton of contact from Antoine Molden. But ultimately, you get the interception early on in that second quarter. I don't know, I thought the defense played well. So this is a tough one for me. Because I look at the Patriots' defense, and I'm going to have a hard time. I've told you this before on this Patriots postgame show. I'm going to have a hard time buying in on this Patriots' defense as something I'm going to feel good about, or a unit I'm going to feel good about going into the postseason. And I've heard this one a lot over the course of the weekend. Jonathan Kraft brought it up again. We've heard Bill Belichick throwing this one out as well. Well, the only thing I care about is points per game. I don't care about yards per game. And I've heard that one, and it's clearly trickled its way down to Patriots fans, and it's something that I think we need to address. Because I thought we heard this last year as well. I remember doing this last year. And if the defense didn't have the same feel to it, then maybe it wouldn't be as valid of a criticism. In other words, last year, I was saying the same thing. Look, the Patriots are giving up a ton of yards. They're bad on third downs. But ultimately, they're forcing turnovers. Ultimately, they're not giving up a ton of points. Trust me, last year I was saying that. I was right there with you guys. And the Patriots in 2010, eighth best in points per game against, or opponents' points per game, I guess, 19.6. You know, that's where the Patriots were at last year going into the postseason, giving up a ton of yards. And what happened? They lost in round one. So for me, because the Patriots didn't give up a lot of points last year but gave up a ton of yards, I don't know, they've lost that leeway with me. You know, I'm going to take that wait-and-see approach with the Patriots' defense instead of looking at points per game and saying, well, they're not giving up a lot of points. That's all that matters. That's the only important stat, like Bill Belichick and Jonathan Kraft are saying this week. I don't know. That was supposedly the case last year, too, and the Patriots lost in the first round of the playoffs. Again, eighth in opponents' points per game last year, 19.6, one and done in the postseason. So clearly, points against wasn't all that mattered. Same thing this year. Patriots are starting to trend in that direction. Again, coming into the game today, they were 10th in opponents' points per game at 20.3 per game. They gave up 20 today. So my guess is they're going to be in roughly the same territory, give or take a spot or two. So they'll be right there. They'll be somewhere around top 10 in points against, but they are giving up a ton of yards this season. That is a cause for concern. However, today, I thought those yards were largely cosmetic outside of the first two drives from the Eagles. They tacked on some late. They tacked on a garbage touchdown late to Brent Celek. Not to Brent Celek. That play at the tail end of the game where Celek set up the touchdown for the Eagles at the end. Ultimately, it was Jason Avant on the one-yard touchdown catch. I thought largely today the yards were meaningless. You know, and even the points against I thought were a little misleading. The Patriots defense played better than 20 points against, I thought, today. But if we're taking a big picture look at this Patriots defense, I think those criticisms are valid. And everyone's saying, oh, well, opponents' points per game are all that matters. I think you're forgetting last year. I think you're forgetting what transpired last year. Because trust me, I remember it. I was saying the same things. Look, they're giving up yards. They're bad on third downs. But they're not giving up a ton of points. And isn't that all that mattered? I asked those questions last year, and it came back and bit me. So all I'm saying is I'm not going to fall into that trap again this season. you know, a win over the Eagles, even though Belichick and others would like you to think that this is the most talented team that the Patriots faced this season. Brady said it. Belichick said it. You know, I had a hard time believing it all week. Hard time believing it. And by the way, I have a hard time believing this as well. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on it because it's the Patriots postgame show.
I just Tebowed to you, Jones.
Kevin, Tim Tebow pulled out another win in overtime, eh?
Yeah, with 29 seconds left in overtime, Matt Prater, 37-yard field goal for the win.
So another win for the Denver Broncos, I swear.
Everyone's Tebowing.
That's all we're going to say. That's all we're going to say about it. But
he's never going to lose a game ever again.
For Tim Tebow, as the Patriots take care of the Eagles, 38-20, they move to 8-3. It is the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. A reminder, you hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up shortly after 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You'll also hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady somewhere around 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, just to get an idea of the layout going forward here on the Patriots postgame show. We also hope to hear from a member of the club from that Patriots victorious locker room after they take care of the Eagles by 18 on the road in Philadelphia. Let's continue with your phone call. Steve's in Pennsylvania, and you're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing? First-time caller.
Thanks for calling in, man. What do you got?
Hey, how you doing? First-time caller. 35-year Patriot fan.
35-year Patriot fan.
I agree with you what you're saying about the defense. The only question I have is I don't believe the Packers have a great defense either. And yet, look at where they are.
Sure, Steve, I've heard that one before, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. Here are the two differences, and I've heard that from Patriots fans God knows how many times on ESPN Boston Radio during the week, noon to 2, ESPNBoston.com. You can bookmark it. I've heard that one an awful lot from Patriots fans. The difference to me, Packers Super Bowl defense, they won the Super Bowl last year. We'll continue to get into that in just a little bit. But right now, I want to go out to the guest line where we welcome in Rob Gronkowski from the victorious Patriots locker room where they took care of Philadelphia 38-20 down in Philadelphia for their eighth win. First of all, Rob, thanks so much for taking the time here on Patriots.com.
Yep, thank you for having me.
Rob, now, question. You guys fall behind 10-0 early in that football game. What's the mood like on the sidelines?
The mood's like, we got to go out there. We just got to do what we got to do. I mean, that's why you play the whole game. That's why there's four quarters. If you're up a lot, if you're down a lot at the very beginning, you just got to keep playing, keep working hard, keep executing every single quarter, every single play.
There have been some slow starts for you guys offensively the last couple of games. How big of a focus was that over the course of the week in preparation for this game?
We every game we want to get off to a fast start, and we're out of practice, always trying to work hard to get an opening play that will get us going and everything for every single drive. So it's huge to get a fast start, and if not, you got to just keep on, you got to keep on going to get it going.
What did you think of Brady's performance today?
It was great. He was on fire, and the whole linemen were playing great. Everyone was blocking well, and the receivers were doing a great job too.
Talking with Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Rob, what's it like to be in a stadium like the one you were in today where the life just totally gets sucked out of the opposing crowd?
It's great. I mean, it's a great feeling going on the road and winning. It's always a tough challenge. Away team crowds are always loud, wild, and you just got to concentrate harder. But it's a great feeling. Less than, like, 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and it's all empty, and it's just Patriot fans there.
You left for a short spell in that game after taking a hit. What happened on that play?
I just got the wind knocked out of me. You know, like, when you got to breathe hard and heavy, but just went away. You just need like a quick second to recoup, and that's what happened. Just took a quick play off, and I was right back in the action.
Did you notice the Eagles' reaction or Eagles fans' reaction when you went off the field for that play?
Yeah, they were cheering. So, I mean, that's part of the game. if they like seeing that kind of stuff, I mean, that's cool. I mean, but I came back in the game, and the whole team played well, and it was awesome that we got the victory. And they were all gone by the eighth minute in the fourth quarter, so it was cool.
Rob, how's this week compared to others for you, where this week it seems like you've really been in the national spotlight given what went down on Monday Night Football?
Just the same as every week. I mean, you got to stay humble. You got to stay hungry. And everyone was practicing hard this week. Everyone was working hard. And it was just a good feeling to come back from the Monday night game and get a big victory, and everyone played well.
Finally, looking ahead to the Colts next week, Patriots-Colts normally winning those games where a playoff spot is at stake for both sides. This year is a little different. How do you prepare for a week like this against Indianapolis?
You got to prepare like every single week. We prepare the same every week, and that's 100% going full speed at practice. That's learning the other defense, learning the other team, and there's no letdowns. We got to go hard 100% this week, too, and just work hard.
All right, he's Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski. 4 catches, 59 yards, another touchdown, and yet another emphatic spike in the end zone for this one. Rob, as always, man, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yep, thanks for having me.
All right, Rob Gronkowski, Patriots tight end, joining us here on the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Love the reaction from Rob Gronkowski, by the way. Hey, Rob, you notice the Eagles fans' reaction getting on you a little bit when you went out for that one play? Yeah, that's okay, though. They were all gone by the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter, says Gronk, joining us here on the Patriots postgame show. Look, another tight end for Gronkowski, and a nice day from Rob Gronkowski. This one here today, all about those Patriots wide receivers, though. Welker with a huge game, and I'll tell you, that's something I felt good about. Given how slot receivers have excelled against the Eagles all season, Victor Cruz killed him last week. Wes Welker, you could tell this was a good matchup for him. And you had to assume, coming off the last few weeks that he's had, the Eagles would, you got to pick your poison. Welker, Gronkowski, you got to pick your poison. And you felt that they'd try to limit Gronkowski this week. So I thought you could see a big week from Welker coming, 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards, and the reemergence from Deion Branch. And you do see what a different offense this is when Deion Branch is a legitimate number two receiver. Didn't seem like the hamstring was bothering him this week like it was last week against Kansas City. And what'd he do? 6 catches, 125 yards, and you can't say it enough. We talk all the time about the chemistry between Brady and Branch, and that 63-yard play where Brady just gave him a hand signal and Branch immediately, boom, broke off his route, broke downfield. That was a huge play for the Patriots at the time. Because if you remember, that's a third down. Third down for the Patriots. They're trailing at that point in the game, 10-7. And he breaks it off, sets up Green Ellis's second touchdown run of the ball game. So this one, thought the tight ends played well. You look at the final numbers and you say, well, it was Hernandez and Gronkowski again. 10 catches, roughly a combined 120 yards, and another score for Gronk. But really, this one all about the wide receivers. And Tom Brady, answering the critics, myself included, all week. Tom, is he hurt? Why are the Patriots getting off to these slow starts? I don't think we're going to be asking that question very much this week, at least on my program, ESPN Boston Radio, noon to 2, over on ESPNBoston.com. Did want to get in one more thought, however, and it was left over from the caller right before Gronkowski called in. The Patriots fans still really want to compare the Patriots defense to the Packers defense. Again, I understand the Packers have given up a ton of yards, but for me, last year for both teams should loom pretty large in your minds. The Patriots last year gave up a lot of yards, one and done in the postseason. The Packers last year, one of the NFL's better defenses, and won a Super Bowl. I don't know. To me, they deserve a bit more leeway than the Patriots, given what went down last season. Also, can you say with a straight face that the Patriots have anywhere near the type of playmakers on defense that the Packers have? Do they have anything resembling Clay Matthews? No. They have anything resembling Charles Woodson? Of course not. So for me, those Patriots-Packers comparisons, I understand the statistics, but the Packers have that ring from last year, yes, lest you forget. And they also have some actual bona fide elite playmakers in the NFL. You know, so for me, I just don't think it's a fair comparison. I understand how the statistics match up, but I don't think it's a fair comparison. I know a lot of you disagree. But that's the way I look at it. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Patriots take care of the Philadelphia Eagles 38-20 in a dominant road win down at Lincoln Financial Field. You'll hear Bill Belichick and his thoughts on the Patriots victory next here on the Patriots postgame show.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pabs! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pabs!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pabs!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right? Ooh,
no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Checking the emails to webradio@patriots.com here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium following the Patriots 38-20 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. New England, one of three teams with at least eight wins in the AFC. The Steelers still have to take care of business tonight. Kevin writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, Brady looked great as always. I saw Scott Zolak tweet out that Brady had his arm wrap off. Good news, and it shows. Julian Edelman had a great game on defense. He has some work to do on his coverage, but I like what I see. Moral of the game, offenses look great. Defense, with the exception of the first few plays, has made some improvements one day at a time. Again, that's Kevin writing into webradio@patriots.com. On Brady, the wrap was off. You know, we don't need tweets to confirm that. You could see it over the course of the game. Brady wasn't wearing it. So, for me, I wonder if that means he's over the injury or he's just tired of people speculating about it. I would lean towards the latter, but I don't know the answer. I just wonder aloud. I would lean towards the latter in that, where Brady sees a piece in the Boston Herald today, where his quarterback guru, Tom Martinez, says, yeah, I think it might be affecting him a little bit. He's getting second-guessed by internet radio schmucks like me all week. Is he totally healthy? Why is he getting off to these slow starts? And my guess is Brady was tiring of it. Just a hunch. On Edelman, great point by Kevin. Hadn't even mentioned him yet. Julian Edelman, that stop of Vince Young running into or attempting to run into the end zone. Good stop by Edelman there. And that was really a string of plays for Julian Edelman, where he drilled Vince Young on third down, like came on a sack and just drilled him. And the drive before that, he had tackled Vince Young trying to get into the end zone. A nice little string of plays for Julian Edelman defensively, where he's not just out there, but he's making plays. I did not think we'd be saying that about Edelman at any point once he was on that side of the football. Also, the fact that the offenses look great and the defense, with the exception of a couple of plays, has made improvements, I'd agree with that. Today is not a day where you're going to hear me sit there and hammer the defense. I thought, by and large, for this game, I thought the defense was good. I think the final numbers are extremely misleading in this game. Now, that doesn't change my opinion, big picture, about the Patriots defense. I still have a lot of questions about the Patriots defense. I thought we went through this last year, where they weren't giving up a lot of points, but a ton of yards. I did that last year. I said, no, I feel pretty good about this defense. What matters more than points per game? Well, last year I was proved wrong. And I feel like a lot of people are falling right back into that same trap, even though we just did it last year. So for one day, no, I'm the Patriots played well today. The final numbers are extremely misleading. 400 yards for Vince Young, that's a garbage stat. You know, he threw for, I don't know, well over 100 on those first two drives when you think of the big plays, the Celek and Cooper and Jackson. Now, I think the Patriots, by and large, tuned those out for a long period of time, and then some of the yardage at the end was cosmetic. So, no, I felt pretty good about the way the Patriots defense played today. Again, big picture, I have tons of questions about that defense. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Michael writes in. Hey, Adam, great win for the Pats. I think the defense played well, especially after that first drive from the Eagles, where they marched down the field very fast. Great adjustments. Also, Welker and Branch, both over 100 yards. The Patriots ran the ball better for over 100 yards in total. And when they do that, they can be hard to defend. Huge play by Edelman tackling Vince Young near the goal line, which we just talked about. I could go on all day, but let's get ready for the 0-11 Colts. Again, that's Michael writing into webradio@patriots.com. That is just mind-boggling, right? This is a game that every year we and the TV networks look forward to. And it's already been flexed from a Sunday night game to a 1 o'clock game. Colts are 0-11, and they were actually in their game today with the Carolina Panthers. But that's one that you got to think, what is Belichick going to dig out of his coach speak this week, right? Like that well of coach speak, like the Eagles are the most talented team they faced all year. Right, Bill? What's he going to dig up about the Colts? I honestly can't wait for those press conferences this week. How are you going to prop up the Colts, the 0-11 Indianapolis Colts, that hadn't been competitive in a game for weeks before this one today against Carolina? 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. You already heard from Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski earlier here on the Patriots postgame show. Let's go to the podium where Patriots head coach Bill Belichick spoke following his club's 38-20 win over the Eagles.
I can, you know, with the short week, the Thanksgiving break, and, you know, all that, just trying to, you know, cram everything in here. I thought they really did a good job the last couple of days of, you know, pulling together on the game plan and, you know, going out. And, you know, I thought they really tried to play the game the way we wanted to play it today and did a good job in all three phases of the game. So, you know, it's good to come down here and, you know, and win. I hope we can, you know, build on this and keep improving every week here.
When your team comes down like that and you just get all those touchdowns in succession that quickly, is it good to see a team respond like that? I mean, probably than before, when you see it happen, how much confidence do you give a team to be able to respond like that when they do what they did today?
Well, I mean, it's good. We certainly didn't want to start the way we started. You know, give them a couple long passes and, you know, not going to get one first down on offense and then gave the ball up. So we kind of stumbled out of the gate there. But, you know, it was good to see us bounce back and kind of fight through it on the road, you know, similar to the Pittsburgh start. But we were able to, you know, respond better and get a little bit more done. So, you know, I think the players hung in there for, you know, 60 minutes. We knew it was going to be tough. The Eagles got a lot of good players, you know, and they're well coached. So we knew it was going to be a tough game, but they got off to a good start. But, you know, give our guys a lot of credit. They hung in there.
Was it a key today to be very disappointed with
Sean
McCoy
and the troops? Yeah, absolutely. He's, well, all of them. I mean, McCoy, Young, you know, obviously Deshaun, you know, they got a lot of explosive players. Selleck, I mean, you know, he's a tough guy too. So, yep, absolutely.
Bill, considering all the injuries and the changes you've had in your secondary, what impresses you most at what's happened back there as the season has progressed?
No, just like as a team, we're trying to hang in there. I mean, we battled through different challenges every week, and, you know, whether it's personnel or other things that, you know, come up. But we just try to deal with it, keep our head down, keep moving forward.
How did the offensive line and protection in general get so much better after Brady's been pretty much every pass the first two drives by 7?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, they got a good pass rush. They got a lot of good players on the front, so, you know, so you gotta give our guys credit for blocking them. You know, Tom got rid of the ball. He stepped up and took advantage of some openings in the pass rush where they looked like they got a little bit up the field and either scrambled or, you know, stepped up and was able to deliver the ball. So, you know, it was a good job by both him and the line of, you know, creating some space and then Tom finding it and being able to get it off. They hit us on a couple, you know, they ran one blitz and we didn't quite handle it right. And I think Patterson got us and, you know, Cole had some pressure on the edge there. Jenkins, you know, had a good rush early on that first drive. And they're an explosive group, and especially the first time you play them, which, you know, we haven't played these guys in a while. I mean, it was preseason last year, but, you know, it's a little bit different when you see them live and, you know, face them. They're a very talented group. You know, Julian's worked hard on that. You know, had to keep up with what's going on offense and also in the kicking game. But he's worked hard, spent a lot of extra time with Josh Boyer and you know, kind of splitting time between meetings, between offense and defense. And of course, he does all the special team stuff too. So, you know, he's worked hard and you know, he's really been a huge help for us. You know, we've been in a couple tight spots here and we were in it again today, moving Sterling back outside at the end of the game. So, he's worked hard and he's really helped us. Well, I think they're, you know, pretty much the same, run the same offense. I mean, obviously, you know, right-handed quarterback, left-handed quarterback, and, you know, I mean, I don't know if there's another quarterback in the league like Vic. I mean, so, I can't say there's no difference. I mean, that guy is as dynamic of a player as because there could be a quarterback, all the things he could do. So, but I think fundamentally, other than the kind of righty-lefty thing and knowing that Vic's Vic, I mean, it's still basically, you know, the same offense. Yeah.
Defensively, was an adjustment you made after those first two drives for them?
We were trying not to give up post patterns, yeah. Trying not to give up 50-yard post patterns. That was the first thing. But, you know, they made good throws and good catches, and, you know, we were trying to, you know, tighten up a little bit on them, and they got over the top on us. So we just didn't do a good job there. You know, Antoine had a big interception there that really, even though we didn't score off it, I think defensively it was, you know, we stopped them, and then Antoine got the interception and, you know, put us in good field position. So, you know, that was another big stop for us defensively, and we finally, you know, really made a play on defense. So, I mean, that helped us in our confidence a little bit.
Anything new anybody can say about Tom's performance today?
Well, I think, yeah, Tom did a good job of really pressing the issue. You know, he felt like we had him on the run a little bit with some of the empty stuff and some of our matchups. And you know, we felt good about our running game, too. But just when we just felt like we had some matchups we could take advantage of, Tom just kept pressing it. And you know, he took guys that were open. I mean, everybody got involved there. And you know, that's what Tom does best is, you know, finds the open guy, puts the ball in the money, and he did it many times today. Did a very good job avoiding the rush, and not so much the yardage you got scrambling, but just, you know, staying out of bad plays, keeping us, you know, on track with some positive yardage, and, you know, give us another chance to line up and, you know, make another good play and not being in second and 18 and stuff like that. I mean, you just, you know, that's suicide against these guys.
Well, on the whole, defensively, have you seen improvement with execution, assignments, tackling, you know, the past few or 6 weeks on this side?
Well, I mean, I think there's some things that are better, but it just seems like we're, you know, just trying to catch up here, you know, kind of on the treadmill. You know, it isn't one guy, it's somebody else. You know, we've been, you know, guys going in and out at, you know, linebacker and then secondary, and it seems like one kind of get one thing kind of getting some continuity and consistency, and then something else happens, so we decided to kind of fight through it. But, you know, individually, yes, collectively, you know, I don't know. It's yes and no. You know, it's hopefully we can progress quicker.
Coach, I think three nets in the final month of the season, do you feel more and more pieces of your overall team's play coming together? What you like it? Do you see more and more?
I don't know. You know, we got a long way to go. There's a lot of football left. We have 8 games. I mean, that ain't going to win anything in the National Football League, so it's going to take a lot more than that. So hopefully we can, you know, continue to improve and play better. You know, I thought our play in the kicking game was definitely better today. We got some, you know, good coverage. We did better on the kickoff returns. If we just can keep, you know, taking those steps every week and every phase of the game, then, you know, I don't think we can be competitive, but we got a long way to go. I don't think we're where we need to be.
It was a little slow early on defense. Was the message going up against the Eagles, don't give up the big play, and then?
Well, that's always the message. We never go into a game saying, let's give up the big play. Okay. That's.
Did you notice that they're especially different when they have to grind it out?
Well, you never want to give it up on one play, so, you know, it's, of course, we always want to make the team drive the ball down the field. It's, you know, called defense is trying to give up 40-yard completions.
So you do have a long way to go, but obviously you're in a position where you could grab that one once. How important do you see that in the big picture all the year?
I don't even think about the big picture, Jim. Big picture right now is Indianapolis. That's the big picture. I'll leave that to all the experts to figure out. I know you guys spent a lot of time on that, but I really, right now, I think our focus is how to improve our team on a weekly basis, how to get ready for Indianapolis and be competitive against them. That's really the only thing we can do anything about. So all the rest of it's just a bunch of garbage.
You guys look to get Branch and Malcolm more involved in the office today. You know, they have been nice involved the last couple weeks.
Played every game. I mean, we try to move the ball and score points. It's not about individual stats and, you know, who has what stats and all that. That's not what we try to do. We try to go out there and win. Whoever that is, you know, whoever's productive, however we can best have the offense move the ball and score points, then that's what we're for. That's what we try to do. We don't go out there and try to feature one player so he can get some stats. No, we don't play that way. I hope we never play that way. Yeah, we're sure. Of course, we're always trying to exploit the best matchup. We're trying to get the ball to the guys that are open that can make plays, and that's what Tom does. But we're not trying to, you know, go out there and, you know, throw so many balls at this guy. So, and we're trying to win.
Aside from getting the lead, what do you think worked so well against McCoy today?
You know, I think our players were very, you know, aware of him. I mean, he still, you know, got outside there one time and had a big run, but, you know, they were very aware. He tried to be very disciplined. We knew he could cut back, bounce out, and was a very hard guy to tackle. So, you know, we studied a lot of film on him. We really tried to, like you said, be disciplined and contain him, but also play good technique inside so we wouldn't give up seams trying to run around guys and all that. And, you know, I thought they really tried to do that. I mean, he's our guy to handle now, and that guy's as good a back as we've seen all year. He's really a good player.
Bill, I know they all kind of the same, but as you said, you get better short, you go on the road against a team with a lot of talented players. Does this one mean a little bit more to you, given all that?
Well, it was a tough week. It was a tough week. They're, you know, the Eagles are a hard team to get ready for. They have a lot of good players. You know, Andy does a good job. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league. And the players had a short week. We were banged up. Tough game against Kansas City. You know, we had some guys that weren't able to play, obviously. And other guys that, you know, played banged up. So I give the players a lot of credit for, you know, for sucking it up and not just physically being out there, but mentally, all the preparation, the film work, the studying that they did, the extra meetings and everything that they did to really try to prepare for this game. It was a great effort by the players. They really deserve, and the assistant coaches too. You know, it's a tough week on them when you only got 6 days and, you know, you got a holiday right in the middle of it. Like you said, you're on the road and all that. But, you know, I mean, that's the NFL schedule, but those guys did a good job. They deserve a lot of credit.
You surprised they didn't go to McCoy more than 2 series they had down near the goal line?
Well, they did go to him. I mean, they went to him a couple times, right? I mean, and he scored in the first series. So, you know, look, they're not going to do the same thing every time. That's why they're a tough team to defend. They, you know, they use McCoy, they use Selleck, they use the receivers, the quarterback just, you know, moves around in the pocket. They, you know, they give you a lot of things to get ready for. It's just, you can't go in there and say, well, we're just going to stop one guy. They have too many weapons and they use them all. You got to defend them all. So, you know, I wouldn't expect them to do that anywhere. You know, we're just, all our passes are going to go to this guy, or all our runs are going to, you know, it's, they keep you off balance, and that makes it tough. It really does.
Final question.
Bill, you mentioned players stepping up. Has that been pretty consistent this year? Have you felt like that's pretty much been the case anyway?
I think our players have, yeah, I think they've, you know, they've given good effort, and they're trying to do, I think they're trying to do the things we tell them to do. I think, you know, sometimes we've got to do it better, and, you know, we can coach better, and we can, you know, have things maybe a little cleaner for them. But I think they're trying to do their part in terms of physically and mentally, you know, day after day, week after week, you know, be consistent, be dependable, and, you know, and do what we ask them to do. And, you know, I know we demand a lot, and this is an easy place to play, and I'm not an easy guy to play for, but they have tried to respond, and I do. I give them a lot of credit for that. All right, thank you.
All right, that was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Interesting at the end to acknowledge not an easy place to play, not an easy guy to play for. I don't know that you hear that from Bill Belichick an awful lot. So that was Belichick following his club's 38-20 victory in Philadelphia here on the Patriots postgame show, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. A couple of thoughts on Belichick. One, acknowledging Andy Reid. He's a great coach. This, that. Have to wonder if Reid's days are numbered in Philadelphia. And it certainly seems like now at 4-7, given the preseason expectations, given the addition of talent in the offseason, seems like some heads are going to roll there. At the very least, it's going to be Juan Castillo, as we talked about earlier on in the program. I don't know. Maybe it's the end of the road for Andy Reid as well. You know, we were sitting there with the Red Sox earlier this offseason, just to create a comparison, looking at it and saying, all right, well, has Terry Francona's time, you know, is his act worn thin in Boston? And you have to wonder if it's the same thing with Andy Reid. Maybe the same thing last year with Jeff Fisher. You know, these guys are in a long place for a long period of time. Do the players start to tune them out? And was making an offensive line coach as D coordinator the last straw? Very possible. So I thought it was interesting to hear Belichick touching on Andy Reid. Also, Belichick early on asked about limiting LeSean McCoy, and the Patriots absolutely did that. 10 carries, 31 yards. And look, the Patriots getting up early in that game, and when I say early, by the end of the first quarter or early second quarter, and then by halftime, they had really taken the Eagles out of a point where you feel comfortable running the football. You feel like you have to start airing it out to get back in that game and match scores with Tom Brady. They limited Shady McCoy to 10 carries, 31 yards. That's the NFL's leading rusher. So totally limited him defensively. And one other thing, because you heard him talk about the explosive nature of that Eagles offense, and he mentioned by name DeSean Jackson. What a blech game for DeSean Jackson. Horrible. Drop that first touchdown, and you're sitting there going, man, I mean, that was still a game. You know, that was still a game when DeSean drops that touchdown. It was 21-10 at that point, and he drops a surefire, wide-open touchdown, alligator arms in the end zone with Tracy White lurking on the doorstep, ready to pop him, and DeSean just turtled in the end zone. So that would have made it a four-point game. Instead, the Eagles have to settle for a field goal. Alex Henry makes it a 21-13 game. And then the Patriots come right back down, score on a field goal just before halftime to make it 24-13. So that was the first one when you're sitting there going, man, DeSean Jackson maybe didn't bring his A game today. Same thing as well later on in the game. Though this one I think is a bit more excusable for Jackson, though the fans got on him just as much. Second drive of the second half after the Eagles had already been stopped on 4th-and-1. And they're just getting their doors blown off at this point. It's 31-13. But they have a chance to get back into it. Jackson diving in the end zone, can't quite reel in a pass. And I know Sergio Brown danced around like he broke it up, but he didn't even touch that play. That was another outright drop by DeSean Jackson. So a rough day for him. And the Patriots, outside of that 44-yarder on the second drive, did a pretty good job taking him away. There was that one drive where the Eagles just worked their way down the sidelines, and it was actually the same drive as DeSean's first drop, where they worked their way down the sidelines. Arrington was given this huge cushion on the near sidelines. And Vince Young and DeSean Jackson just played pitch and catch, I think, for three different catches on that drive. Other than that, in the 44-yarder, quiet day today for DeSean Jackson. Patriots did a nice job limiting those big plays from the Eagles and those explosive playmakers, be it McCoy, be it DeSean Jackson. And you just heard Patriots head coach Bill Belichick touch on that. You hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady coming up here in just a little bit on the Patriots postgame show, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Alex writes in. Adam, do you think Dan Copen or Devin McCourty will return to the active lineup again this season? Well, Copen's on IR, so he's out. And I thought Wendell, by the way, played pretty well in place of Dan Connolly, who was out in this game. On McCourty, yes, I expect him to return again this season. He was practicing this week. My sense on McCourty is similar to Chung, is similar to Spikes. You know, the Patriots want to make sure those guys are healthy going into the postseason, or at least late in the regular season. They want to make sure that, look, this defense is flawed. This defense is a major question mark for this team. You might as well get as healthy as possible on that side of the football. They're not going to rush those guys back. That's the sense I get on McCourty, on Chung, on Spikes, all those guys. Was interesting, though, to look at the Patriots locker room, and Sterling Moore tweeted this out earlier today, the Patriots safety, saying essentially, look, it's great that we got out of this game with no major injuries, which already made you feel good about Sebastian Vollmer leaving that football game with what the team called an ankle injury. But later on, he was seen walking through the locker room. This has been tweeted out by a number of the Patriots reporters. Seen walking through the locker room with a minor limp and a walking boot. So you wonder if it's a similar situation to Matt Light the week before. I thought Light's looked terrible last week. Guy played the whole game today, at least until it was totally out of hand at the end. So you wonder if Vollmer's in a similar boat to Matt Light. Also, Antoine Molden told reporters he was fine after the game. He was shaken up late in that game, didn't come back in. We had the sense, though, that that was more because of the score and the situation of that football game. So the Patriots apparently dodge a bullet, no major injuries. Vollmer in a walking boot, but appears to be okay, at least long-term. It's not going to be an IR situation for the Patriots, who are dinged up on that offensive line. You know, no Connolly this week, Wendell plugged in. Vollmer left the game, and you saw a little bit of Marcus Cannon again at the end, and also some Nate Solder over the course of this week. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue to hear from you here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, and you'll hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady next on the Patriots postgame show.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Little under an hour left here on the Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Here's how you get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Fiona writes in from Belfast, Ireland. Adam, I was watching the game online from Ireland when the feed cut out in the Denver game. And we've heard a lot of complaints about this. That didn't happen to us here, Kevin. We got the entire game. So I understand that some Patriots fans in other markets, they cut out and they went to the Denver game, which I tell you, the game was blowout city. So I don't have a major problem with CBS doing that, though I understand Patriots fans' frustration. As Fiona continues, sure, the score may not have been close, but the game wasn't over. I have no other place to watch it, and I miss seeing Hoyer play at all, plus the final score of the game. Well, I'll catch you up to speed on those last two. Hoyer did not throw a pass, and the Patriots won 38-20. Fiona continues, I'm peeved at how much grief Chad Ochocinco is getting from people. He hasn't been given a proper chance yet to settle into the team. I'm not sure what the team dynamics are, but people can't criticize him for not catching when the throws aren't being made to him. He needs a little encouragement and acceptance before he can get into his game, I think. I'm disappointed not to have seen it yet, but the fault's not entirely his. And again, that's Fiona writing in to webradio@patriots.com. You know, on Ochocinco, when reporters like Mike Reese are raising their eyebrows about Ocho really being hurt, that to me is a red flag. You know, and he wasn't the only one. Karen Garigian doing it as well. But when Patriots reporters are sitting there going, huh, hamstring injury flares up on Friday, deactivated before the game, you know, and they're kind of rolling their eyes that maybe this isn't an injury to Chad Ochocinco, or at least their antenna is up, that maybe it's not an injury to Chad Ochocinco, I find that interesting. And you wonder if something about that will trickle out over the week. We had a caller earlier suggest that maybe Ochocinco will get cut. You know, I wonder if that's the case. Look, Belichick has cut guys early in the week like he did with Haynesworth. He's cut guys right before games like he did with Lee Bodden. So I still don't expect Chad Ochocinco to get cut. But it's interesting where he's now at the point where he's not even playing. He's not even dressing for these football games with these potentially phantom injuries. At least that's what other people are questioning. Whether it's a real injury, Mike Reese, Karen Garigian, among them. People much more knowledgeable than myself are questioning whether Ocho's really hurt. On top of that, you have Taylor Price active but not seeing a snap in the game, which means guys like Tyquan Underwood, who dropped a surefire touchdown, are playing now as your third wide receiver. So I understand on some level where the TO rumors are coming from, with Rosenhaus, his agent, at the Patriots game earlier today, an AFC team is interested in him, according to Pro Football Talk. You can make some logical conclusions that maybe the Patriots are one of those teams. I still wouldn't expect it, but I understand Patriots fans' frustration with Chad Ochocinco. On Fiona's one point about, hey, is it all on Ocho? I totally agree with that. I thought Ocho had the makings of a good game. What was it? In that loss to the Giants, I believe it was. Brady just continuously missed him. I didn't think that was on Ocho. And he came back with a decent, his best game, against the Jets. And then he did nothing last week and didn't play this week. So, no, it's not all on Ocho. But I would say 90% of it is on Ocho. That's roughly where I'd set it at this point. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Ray down in Florida. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. What's up, Ray?
Hey, what's that, Pac-Man?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, I'm good. Hey, listen, man, I think the Patriots played well today. I think they were up to the challenge than the Philadelphia, you know, the plus the receivers and all that. But I got a problem with the game, though.
Sure.
I think played great, but I got a problem with CBS, man.
Yeah,
you're
not the first one to say that, Ray. A lot of Patriots fans, not here, at least not in New England, because we got the game the entire time, but it sounds like fans in other markets, CBS cut out of the game and went to Tebow.
I mean, yeah, well, I got a problem because they're playing in San Diego. I mean, this is the East Coast. How are they going to put that game on the East Coast? I got a problem with that. I really do. I mean, they're trying to advertise Tim Tebow. I mean, he's a good quarterback, but don't get me wrong, but
I mean, Ray, look, I know that you're a Patriots fan. But if you're in Miami, don't you think most people are more interested in a good game than a blowout?
Well,
think of it from CBS's perspective. Like, wouldn't you be more interested in a close game, a game that eventually went to overtime with a highly marketable player like Tim Tebow? Think what you will of him. Don't you understand the logic for CBS where how many Patriots fans can really be in Florida?
I understand that, but, you know, the Patriots game, I mean, come on, which game you'd rather watch? The Patriots game versus Philadelphia or Tim Tebow against San Diego? I mean,
Ray,
let's be real.
No, Ray, well, I know, let's be real. Thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I understand you're a Patriots fan. I understand Patriots fans are upset about it. But think about it from CBS's perspective. What's going to get more people's eyes glued to the television? What's going to keep more people watching the game? A blowout? And I don't care if it was supposed to be a good game going in. I mean, Patriots-Eagles is a way more interesting game on its surface, but the game was a blowout. So I understand CBS's logic. Again, I know a lot of Patriots fans are fired up about it. You live in another market. You couldn't watch the end of you couldn't see Brian Hoyer hand off. I get the frustration. Oh, the humanity that you can't see Hoyer handing off to Vereen and to Stephen Ridley. So I don't know. If I were in another market, A, I would probably purchase the ticket and or go to a bar and watch all the games. That's probably how I would do it. That's what I've tended to do over the years. But if not, and I'm glued on my glued on my couch, I would rather watch the closer game. That's just me. I understand a lot of you don't see it the same way. Let's continue with your phone calls. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Manny's down in Miami, and you're next up here with Adam Jones. What's up, Manny?
Hey, Pac-Man. What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm tremendous. Hey, by the way, me and my girl, we're sitting at the bar, and we're happy. We're just drinking it up. All of a sudden, we look back up, and our game is gone. I'm like, wait a minute. What happened? And we're looking around, and all we see throughout the entire bar is the Bears and the Raiders and the Chargers and the Broncos. And I'm like, hello? I mean, there's still 8 minutes to go. And I understand that, you know, we had the lead and stuff like that. And overall, it was a great performance overall. I mean, we really were exposed in the freaking Eagles. But, I mean, you know, it's just one game, one bad team on defense that we just, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
Feels really good, though.
Manny, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I feel Manny's paying a bit more. Like, if you're at a local drinking establishment and they turn your game off, that's a little different than, you know, CBS cutting out, although it sounds like the bar didn't have the ticket, which is disappointing. But on his last point, that Eagles defense, their secondary was a lot worse than I anticipated, right? I know Asamoah didn't play. At least until, what was it, midway through the second quarter? And even then, he wasn't at full strength. They didn't have Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie in that game, but man, oh man, that secondary had some issues. I thought that defense would at least be okay. They've pressured quarterbacks all season. I thought they would show up a bit more than they did in that game today. So disappointed by the Eagles' defense, but the Patriots just lit them up. So all the credit in the world to them. I will say, for everyone who continues to say, well, the Patriots' defenses look good now 3 weeks in a row, Mark Sanchez and two backup quarterbacks, Tyler Palko and Vince Young. And for everyone who says all that matters are points per game, you know, I agree with that in a vacuum. But we were saying the same thing about the Patriots last year. They finished eighth in the NFL, 19.6 points per game. They're right in that same general area this season. 10th, 20.3 points per game, both years, giving up a lot of yards. Last year, they were horrific on third down. This year, they're better. And they're better in the red zone this year as well. But for me, I have a hard time going right back down that road. I know that ultimately at the end of the day, all that matters is points. But we said that last year and the Patriots were one and done. in the postseason. So I don't know. I can't be all in on that Patriots defense. I get the sense that a lot of the true hardcore Patriots fans, you're not. You have, if you are objectively watching this team, you have to have questions about that side of the football. However, in recent weeks, questions have been popping up about the offense. Questions have been popping up about Tom Brady. And this stat is relayed from ESPN Stats Info. Saw this tweeted out earlier. Matt LePan, behind the scenes, passed it along. Brady is now has tied the NFL record for the most games with 350 passing yards and at least 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. He and Peyton Manning have each done it 8 times. So another phenomenal day out of Tom Brady and that offense. They silenced a lot of critics like myself. What's going on with the slow starts? Is Brady hurt? He silenced all of us with that performance today. 24-34, 361, and 3 touchdowns. Oh, by the way, rushed for 28 yards as well. Tom Brady spoke at the podium following his club's 38-20 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles.
How are you doing, guys?
Doing pretty well.
That was an impressive performance, even for Tom Brady.
I thought it was okay. You know, I thought our execution was a little better. But it's good to come on the road and get a win. I mean, it's a team that has obviously a lot of very good players, and I thought we, you know, getting down 10-0 and then rallying and coming back like we did was showed a little bit of mental toughness, which we've really shown consistently throughout the year.
What's that? You saw some matchups and things that you really could push and press as the game started to unfold. What exactly did you see that made you say, okay, we're going to go after this for a little while?
I mean, our guys were getting open, so, you know, we got some good quickness in the underneath part of the field. I thought we took advantage of some plays there. You know, I thought we should have hit some other ones, though. But all in all, it's a good win, and as we always do this time of year, we've got to move on.
What happened when you go into the branch? You scramble around a little bit, you look like you took a deep.
The one that we completed?
Yeah,
the one was out of the one. Yeah, he had a comeback route, and he ran it. I scrambled up, and then he kind of stepped up and then wheeled inside, and the DB lost him, and I just tried to jam it in there to him. He caught it, and he did the rest. I thought he had a great cutback there on about the 15, 20-yard line to get us down to the one, but that was a huge play in the game. I thought really to kind of stop the momentum that they had established, and for us to make some plays like that really softens up the defense.
Tom, on the 41-yard touchdown to Welker, were you surprised he was that wide open? And I think it was your play action that made him that wide open.
Yeah, and he said before the play, he said, you know, if I get this certain look, then, you know, I'm going to fake like I'm running the in cut and run the post. And he did it and came to the sideline. He said, I told you. So that was pretty funny. It's nice when they work out kind of how you talk about. And you know, Wes is so consistent and reliable, and it's a phenomenal player.
He always seems to get in on that pylon, too.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's got a knack for it. Whenever he's around there, he just sticks that ball across. So that was a hell of a play by him.
I feel like getting Benny going early was a big helping guy.
Yeah, I thought we ran the ball pretty effectively. The first drive, I thought we did a good job running it. We just kind of sputtered out. We didn't make some plays in the passing game, but I thought we played with a little power today. We ran the ball to really balance up the passing game, but you know, there's some plenty of yards that we left out there too.
Speaking of running, you ran the ball more than yourself.
Yeah, that's a rarity. There was just a few times where I felt that it opened up in the middle, and I just took off. So I'm not moving very fast. They're converging pretty quickly, so I just got down there as fast as I could.
Tom, you also had to dig a lot of turf out of your brace one of those.
I thought the brace was bent, so but it just ended up having a lot of turf jammed up in there, and Aaron was trying to tug it out of there, which fortunately he did, and we were in a no huddle, so we were just able to get on the ball and snap the next, you know, get the ball snapped with some time left on the clock.
When you get down like that early, is there a key to panicking or something
like that? Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of football to play, so you know, even their first touchdown drive was probably 2.5 minutes. It wasn't like it was a 8-minute drive, so there was a ton of football, and we didn't do much on the first drive. We punted, and they kicked the field goal. Our defense made another good stop in the red area to keep it from going 14-0, which then you're really in a hole, but to be down 10-0, and then we scored again. So that was, you know, really, you know, good job by the entire team to really stem the tide.
Do you feel this was another game with it, you know,
how
it was more like a tool or weapon to help you out
transition into the college? Yeah, I thought we did a pretty good job executing it. I thought there was a few drives where we had more of an opportunity and we missed some plays in the passing game, which, you know, we stopped, you know, field goal, namely the one before halftime. But our no huddle was somewhat effective. You know, I think more importantly, I think the run game complemented the pass game, and we really balanced it out. So, last question. Yeah. Well, I thought it was more balanced today. I mean, I thought we did a good job getting it to the wideouts. Wes and Dion both obviously had a big day, and then the tight ends made some plays too. So. That's how it needs to be. I mean, you got to run it. You got to throw it to everybody. You got to keep them off balance. You got to screen. You got to draw. You got to trap. You got to downhill run. You need quick hitters. You need, you know, you need all levels in the passing game. So when they're able to take a few of those away, you know, obviously it makes it more difficult to execute. But you know, I thought today we did a good job really maximizing, you know, all of the guys out there who are playmakers. Thank you.
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady at the podium following his club's 38-20 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. Didn't those reporters hear him, Kevin? That was the last question. Like, what are those guys trying to do? Tom Brady makes it clear when you're going to get the last question.
Everyone sucks but me.
So what are you trying to get in there at the end, you guys? Come on, didn't you hear him? But I thought there were some interesting things there from Tom Brady. First and foremost, I love it. At the podium when he gets up there and he's asked about the win and he's like, yeah, I thought it was okay. Thought we left some plays out on the field and... You can just imagine him just staring daggers at Tyquan Underwood after he drops that play. Fortunately, the Patriots came right back with that 63-yard play, Brady to Branch, which Brady also talked about, deferring totally to Branch, giving him all the credit in the world on that adjustment, that 63-yard play that set up Green Ellis' second touchdown run. But you know that Brady, and they showed it on TV, on the CBS broadcast, you heard people on Twitter or saw people on Twitter commenting on it as well, but Brady... Not only after Gostkowski missed the field goal, but after he missed Welker on that third down play before it, you could tell that he felt like the Patriots left some plays out there. So you figure that's what's in reference to on the Patriots' fourth drive. They're up 14-10, leave some points out on the field. You got to imagine that's what he's talking about it in reference to. But also, I thought it was interesting to hear him talking about that touchdown play to Wes Welker. That first one, Steve Burton asked the question, 41-yard touchdown, play action, blown coverage. And Burton asked, you know, was he surprised to see Welker get so open, and how does he get so open? And Brady actually said, look, Welker came in and told me, I'm going to fake to the middle of the field, and then we're going to go to the end zone on that play. And if we get that look from the defense, we're going to do it on that post route. And Brady said, Welker came in to the huddle after that and said, see, told you we were going to do that. So you just heard from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady at the podium following his club's 38-20 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles, gives the Patriots their eighth win of the season and their third straight. Let's go to Wes Welker, who also met with the media following his club's 18-point victory in Philadelphia.
Wes, so what is it about this team that fits the upset keeps you composed and confident even when you get down 10 points that early, that quick?
I think we have a lot of veteran-type guys that understand that it's a long game and you can't really get down. You can never get too high or too low. And make sure you just keep on fighting. And even though they're up 10 to nothing, we understand that, you know, we put a touchdown on the board and kind of put the pressure on them a little bit. And then the defense makes a stop, and we're able to put seven more points on the board, and we're putting ourselves in better position. And so it's I think it's just veteran leadership and guys really stepping up and understanding that we got to make plays and keep stay resilient and no matter what happens early on in the game.
Tom said you gave him a heads up on what you were about to run into on that and play resulted in the touchdown pass.
Right. Yeah, it did. We were in the same play earlier on, and the safety came down pretty hard. So I told him in the huddle, you know, if I see this coverage, I'm gonna do the, you know, I'm gonna stutter him and go, and he was fine with it, and you know, luckily we got the coverage and able to get a touchdown on it.
runs longer.
What do you think of the job Julian Edelman did to help out the team playing defense?
Yeah, Julian's done a great job filling in wherever the coaches ask, and it's great to have a versatile guy to step up and play defense or back up on offense, and you know, being able to do all those different things, return punts and play special teams. So you know, it's always the more you can do in the NFL, and he's a living proof of that.
Well, so you're seeing more and more of that in practice from Julian, that you know he can actually be trusted in time situations.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, he's a tough player. He really goes out there and practices hard and plays hard and is really you know, giving his best all the time, and he plays with a lot of energy, and you know, when you do that, it's usually good things happen.
Does Tom Brady ever show you anything new, or do you guys just working on the same basic,
You know, we're always trying to, you know, refine, you know, everything that we do now, and you know, sometimes we try and throw a wrinkle in there every once in a while, but you know, we've gotten to a point where there's just, you know, trying to think of something new from where we are is kind of tough, but we're always trying to come up with, you know, different techniques of different routes, and you know, how we can maybe you know, use a route that we run a lot to help, you know, help that route out by maybe putting a double move to it or different things like that, or you know, things of that nature, just trying to make it as complicated as we can for ourselves.
They get 10-0 lead, you come back and score 3 quick touchdowns. What changes, if anything, from being down 10-0 and not going pure and taking over the league? What changed, if anything, or what clicked, if anything?
I think us scoring that first touchdown and moving the ball and understanding what the game was going to be and adjusting the game plan. The coaches did a good job of that and going a lot of empty and things like that, moving the ball down the field. And after we got that first touchdown, then we got the defense to get I believe they got an interception or something like that. And then we were able to make it, 14-10 there, I think a couple of possessions later. But when we did that, you know, it just kind of steamrolled from there, and we were able to, you know, stay on them, and defense had a great goal line stand down there once again, and you know, it all just kind of came together, and we started playing, you know, really good complementary football.
At 8-3, you head to December now, you feel more and more pieces of this team's overall game getting to where you wanted to be as a team?
Well, I think we're getting better. It's, you know, as you go through the year, you have new people, new guys, and you know, new things kind of going on, and guys got to come along and play better and step up and different things like that. And I feel like guys have done that for the most part, and it's just something that we got to continue to do and continue to improve, especially late here in the season. But you know, we've improved a lot since, you know, day one, as a lot of teams have.
Thompson seemed to be fired up after the attempt to settle for a field goal early on. That's typically how he is, right? Or was there something different today about him?
No, I mean, that's Tom, you know. I mean, we want to score touchdowns every time we step out there on the field, and you know, it's not something we want to do, and you know, I had that drop that's, you know, inexcusable to move the chains there, and so we just got to, you know, stay at it and make sure that, you know, we're trying to score touchdowns every chance we get.
Do you like that?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd rather him be that way than aw shucks, you know, or anything like that. But you know, it's great to have, you know, some fire with your quarterback there.
Did you see Leo Hansen cover you at all? Is that kind of interesting?
Yeah, I mean, we go way back to Texas Tech, so we've had a lot of practices together of us, you know, going at it all the time. So it was
anything like, you know, I can't believe this is happening.
Not really. I mean,
their defense is,
not till really after the game and stuff. But you know, we didn't really talk. We were just trying to do our jobs out there on the field, and you know, he's a more quiet, reserved type guy, and you know, a great player, and did a good job.
Thanks very much, guys.
All right, thank you all.
Patriots wide receiver Wes Welker, following the Patriots' 38-20 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. Welker in that one. 8 catches, 115 yards, and a pair of touchdowns, one of which we've talked about. That double move, 41-yarder, total blown coverage by the Eagles on that play-action pass. But look, Green Ellis establishing the run and the Patriots establishing the run early in that game allowed the Eagles to bite on that play-action fake. And you heard Welker talking about that double move over the course of the interview. You also heard him talking about Tom Brady's fire, and I thought that was interesting. Because, you know, Welker, and you heard him say it, I had that drop on third down, and that was right before the Patriots missed that field goal midway through the second quarter. And that's when the CBS cameras caught him, and everybody on Twitter blew up about Brady showing that fire on the sidelines. You know, that's what Welker was talking about, and he says, yeah, I'd rather get that out of Brady. I'd rather have that out of my quarterback than have him be, you know, this aw shucks kind of guy, is what Welker said. I imagine most people would agree with that. At least most people in that locker room would agree with that. But, you know, you hear it from Wes Welker that he wants that fiery quarterback. And I think you saw Tom Brady. I don't think it's a coincidence that his elbow wrap was off this week after there was all of these questions about Brady. And I asked a ton of them all week on ESPN Boston Radio, noon to 2 on ESPNBoston.com. Probably not going to be asking them as much this week. I think Brady put all of those questions to rest. Karen Garigian's piece in the Boston Herald this week where she caught up with Brady's quarterback guru, Tom Martinez, said, yeah, it looks like he's probably dealing with something. Maybe he's not getting that full extension. You know, you heard it as well over the course of the week. You know, not just from Martinez, but seeing that wrap on his elbow, seeing Brady in the slow starts, it was certainly second-guessed an awful lot over the course of the week. And I think Brady silenced a lot of those critics with the performance he had today. And obviously showed that fire on the sidelines that I think is, for the most part, there out of Tom Brady. Frustrated when they left some points on the field. Turned out didn't matter as the Patriots emerged with a 38-20 victory over the Eagles in Philadelphia. They moved to 8-3 all alone atop the AFC East. It is the Patriots postgame show live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. I'm Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. We'll get back to the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com, and we go around the AFC East next here on the Patriots postgame show.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide C-pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Who will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Browns! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Pats.
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
This is the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studio inside Gillette Stadium. Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
About a half an hour left here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com as the Patriots take care of the Philadelphia Eagles 38-20. They move to 8-3 on the season. Another huge day out of Tom Brady. Big day out of both wide receivers in this one. Wes Welker and Deion Branch, each over 100 yards. And that Patriots defense, I don't care what the final stats say in this one. The Patriots defense for a day, I think, was much better than the stats indicated. Those first two drives, the Eagles lit it up. But the Patriots held in the red zone and forced a, 43-yard field goal from Alex Henry. So not quite the red zone. But forced the Eagles deep in their own territory. And I just thought the defense overall today actually took some steps forward. Now,
bam,
big,
I got it.
Big picture, I have plenty of questions about the Patriots defense. In fact, none of my questions have changed, big picture, about the Patriots defense. But for a day, we can sit there and say, all right, 400 yards from Vince Young, entirely misleading. I think most of the Eagles' stats in this one, entirely misleading. You know, just like I think the Patriots, and what we're going to hear all week, LePan, I can already predict it. What we're going to hear all week, well, the Patriots are now top 10 in the NFL in opponents' points per game. They're top 10. All that matters is points. It's all we heard last week from Belichick and John Kraft, right on down the list. And I've already deconstructed that, I feel like, to an extent. Patriots were top 10 in the NFL in opponents' points against last season and wound up losing in the first round of the playoffs. Everybody seems to have forgotten that. I don't understand why. But I'm not going to go back down that road. I know we're going to hear that all week, and I'm already dreading hearing that to an extent. Let's hit these phones. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We go to Brandon in California. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. Actually, it looks like we lost Brandon. I might have hung up on him there by accident, which if I did. Brandon, I apologize. That was entirely my bad. He held patiently at LePan, and you know what? I think I held up on him.
Brandon, call back.
Yeah, so 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. I have these fat fingers. You know, I hang up on people by accident. It's my bad. I didn't want to hang up on him. I wanted to take the call. We'll roll through your emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. That's where Nick writes in. Adam, I'll admit, I was a bit scared in the first quarter with the way Philadelphia was moving the ball. Fortunately, the defense stiffened up and stopped them and gave the offense a chance to do their thing. I'm a bit impressed with the unknown defensive players stepping up. But I'm still worried about the defense in the playoffs. They can't keep giving up these yards against good teams because good teams will score touchdowns. Sooner or later, giving up big yards will equate to giving up a lot of points. That's Nick in Georgia writing into webradio@patriots.com. Nick, bingo. Bingo. This is a backup quarterback today in Vince Young. Now, he's been a starter before in the NFL, but he's a backup quarterback, just like Tyler Palko is a backup quarterback, just like Mark Sanchez is a bottom half of the league quarterback. So, yes, they've made defensive strides, and it's better than the alternative. But let's remember who it's come against these last couple of weeks. And I just tell you to balance it out a little bit and just look at these last, what now, five games of the season with a bit of skepticism. Remember, these are going to be coming against Curtis Painter, Rex Grossman, Matt Moore, quarterbacks like this. Now, Tim Tebow, who won again today, also on that list. That's an interesting one. But some of the other quarterbacks on there, not as interesting. So again, just remember who it's coming against. Yes, it's better than the alternative, but remember who it's coming against. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's where Brandon calls back in. Brandon, I apologize. My fat fingers held
fat,
up on you.
Drunk and stupid. There's no way to go through life,
my fault, actually, because I clicked the end button. So,
all right, well, yeah. No worries, man. What did you think of that Patriots game today?
Well, overall, I thought it was a good performance on both sides of the field. But I was looking and I watched Sergio Brown when they thought he tipped the ball. I thought it was just going to be like the Giants game where he called that pass interference because he wasn't even looking for the ball.
No, but, I mean, Brandon, just to jump in quick, and I'm sorry. He celebrated like he broke that play up, and I'm with you. He didn't touch that thing. That was just an outright drop by DeSean Jackson. I love Sergio Brown. We've had him on the show on ESPN Boston Radio. Great kid. He should not be on the football field when it's within three touchdowns, though. I can tell you that.
Yeah, and then Wes Walker, I'm glad he got it back in the mix because for a second there, I thought it was like a fluke from like his past games. I was hoping it wasn't, so he showed me it wasn't. But overall, a great performance, except that Ty Wood, what, I don't know his name, but
Tyquan
the new
Underwood.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it, though.
No, and Brandon, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's how you get in touch with the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Tyquan Underwood ties in nicely to Chad Ochocinco, right? Like, Underwood's out there because Ocho, was scratched on Friday. Hamstring injury popped up out of nowhere, which people much more knowledgeable than me have raised their eyebrows at.
Yeah!
Put up their antenna about Mike Reese. Karen Garigian, is it a legit injury? So again, this isn't just me stirring the pot. These are other Patriots beat writers, much more well-respected than I, you know, raising their antenna about that Ocho injury. So Tyquan Underwood's in the game, getting snaps over someone like Taylor Price, and Underwood drops a surefire touchdown. And I just think it's interesting. I did a radio hit on WIP in Philadelphia earlier today, and, you know, they were asking about Ocho being deactivated. And, you know, I gave my spiel questioning whether it's a legit injury, but really it doesn't matter at the end of the day because Ocho's a guy playing between 15 and 20 snaps for this team. You hope at some point he's going to start playing more snaps and be a part of the offense, but it hasn't happened. I've given up hope on that. I told you that after the Steelers game. I've given up hope on that, and I was probably late to the party. I think plenty of people had given up before that. But I also told the people in Philadelphia that the guy to watch was Deion Branch dealing with that hamstring injury. Couldn't make it through the entire Chiefs game. You know, if he can't go, then that's legitimately something the Patriots would have to worry about. And Deion Branch played a great game today for the Patriots. We've already talked about that play, that adjustment, where Branch on that 63-yard play followed Brady's hand signals, went downfield, and set up a one-yard touchdown run from Green Ellis. Should have got into the end zone, neither here nor there. But a great play by Deion Branch nonetheless. He led all Patriots receivers with 125 yards, also had six catches to boot. And he spoke with the media at the podium following the Patriots' 38-20 victory over the Eagles.
Deion, on the 63-yard pass that you caught, did you think you brought it down to the one, but did you think you got in?
No, I didn't get in. I tried to run the last guy over. I forgot his name, the safety, but I didn't get in. It was a great run. those 10 years on me. But I think overall the front line did a great job on that play of blocking for Tom. And I think it wasn't a play that I made. It was a play that he made with his feet. You know, Tom don't get a lot of credit for, you know, keeping his head up and getting out of the pocket, making plays. And that's what he did. I think the easy part was the stuff that we do on the outside of staying open, you know, with our scramble rules and all. But, yeah, that, all the credit goes to the front line and Tom.
You made an adjustment on that play, though, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we have scramble rules. You know, I'm pretty sure, trust me, when he's scrambling, everybody wants the ball. You can look around and see all the guys doing what they're supposed to do. And, you know, unfortunately, he was locked in on me on that one play.
He gestured too, so obviously you get a little visual communication.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, the thing is, yeah, we have to be on the same page. And we work on those things in practice all the time, so it wasn't like it was, you know, some new or something. It's just all about, you know, what the front line is doing, you know, and Tom keeping his head up the field.
In the last five games, you guys have really struggled in the first quarter to match some of the productivity you had early in the year.
Right.
You had made it clear that you wanted to start fast.
Yep.
You started slowly on the first drive and then really kicked it in.
Yeah.
Had you been close to turning the page, and did you feel like you did turn the page a little bit today?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're going to take it one game at a time. I think overall we did a great job of just staying composed on the sideline, you know, and making sure we made the right adjustments. You know, once we came to the sideline, to what Philly was doing to us, you know, once we settled down, we realized what they were doing. Now we can go out and attack the way we should. And then pretty much what we planned on doing for our game plan.
6 years removed, but this was a team who had the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Thinking of that at all?
Nah.
I mean, that was your
game. That was a long time ago. That's a long time, man. I don't even remember that game. It was a minute ago. Yeah, that part I don't remember either. Yeah, I mean, it was a great game today, though. I think we came out and did exactly what Coach Belichick asked of us this week. Now it's all about trying to start building from here.
How important is it to build?
Right. Well, that's the thing.
Into December.
Exactly.
This game right now, as you go into that one.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody say, you know, Coach been harping on it, and you turn the TV on, football season starts after Thanksgiving. So right now, we want to know. And we have five games left, and we're going to take it one game at a time. You know, our next biggest opponent is the Colts. You know, these guys coming in, trust me, they got a great team. You know, hey, it may look like that on TV, I promise you, but the things that we're seeing, seriously, I'm being honest, there's some things that, you know, you can see on film where there's a mistake here or there that's causing them the game. But trust me, these guys have a great team, got a great coach. We still got to go out and play our game, execute our plays.
Sure, you only got five games left.
Is it five? It's five, right?
I don't know.
Five in the regular season.
Yeah.
Right. That's the only thing we can focus on that. We got five in the regular season left, one game at a time. Start with Indianapolis.
What's going on with the Eagles' pass defense as the game evolved? You and the receivers, as well as the tight ends, later in the game, had so much ability to get yards after the catch.
Right. Well, this is all about making adjustments.
But was it missed tackles or just...
Could be.
Your scheme didn't work with
yourself. Yeah, well, I tip my hats off to those guys, but mainly to our offensive staff. You know, they did a great job with the game plan. You know, we attacked exactly where their weaknesses were. And the guys made the plays. Tom threw the ball, front line did a great job blocking, and the guys that were receiving the ball made the plays. I can't say what they was doing over there. Our job is to beat them.
I mean, they had some injuries. No, Oscar wasn't 100%. Mm-hmm. They had a young guy, Brandon Hughes, in there.
Right.
They just didn't seem prepared to. And, you know, Rogers Cromartie was out also.
Exactly.
They didn't seem to count on what you guys were doing, and therefore you were able to pull away.
Yeah, well, I think just overall, what's up with Tom Brady having the luxury to make calls and checks at the line of scrimmage. Puts a strain on the defense when they show you one thing, and if we have a bad play call, he has the luxury to check out of that play and put us in a better play. And a lot of times that's the case. Sometimes it happened, sometimes it was just guys making plays. All right. Thank you.
It's Patriots wide receiver Deion Branch with some reporter who is screaming those questions, LePan. That's not a Boston media member, right?
I have no idea who, like, that was, but he was loud.
I noticed that guy during Belichick. Like, who was that?
Yeah, he was in all four of them, and
I don't think that was a Boston media. No, I'm saying I first noticed it during Belichick, and I didn't really think much of it. then it's in like every single inter- who was that guy? I'm guessing it was a Philadelphia guy. If it's a Boston guy, we're going to have to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone scream questions before. That caught my eye.
Yeah, if you want to call them questions. But again, Deion Branch at the podium following the Patriots' 38-20 victory. I thought he said a couple of interesting things, and I saw this tweeted out earlier, that, look, the motto here in New England is the season starts after Thanksgiving. You know, that's where the football season really begins, and you just heard Branch say this. And the Patriots are 1-0 now after Thanksgiving. They have 5 regular season games, as was pointed out to Branch. Not 5 games left. That's the way it's been the last couple of years here in New England, but hopefully there's a few more come the postseason. It was pointed out to Branch, 5 regular season games left. But I like that message from Branch. Look, we're 1-0 after Thanksgiving. Didn't care much for him trying to prop up the Colts. Like, hey, I know how it looks to you guys on TV. They're 0-11, but they're a good team. Come on now. He didn't seem to be buying that. Call me crazy, but Branch, I know he was saying it, didn't seem to be believing it. So I told you, I heard this from Belichick this week, not to go off on a tangent, but we heard it from Belichick and Brady this week and parroted on down through the rest of the Patriots locker room. Oh, the Eagles are this talented team. They're the most talented team we've faced all season. Clearly there's a disconnect between their talent and their results on the field. That wasn't
it
pointed
is what
out,
it is.
Wasn't pointed out by anyone, Bill, over the course of the week. I cannot wait to hear the gems he comes up with this week to try to prop up the Colts. I don't even know where you go. Like, where do you even... let me stop, actually. It'll probably be Freeney and Mathis. He'll probably focus in on them. Reggie Wayne just scored a touchdown for the first time since week one this week. So maybe it's a little Reggie... Well, Reggie Wayne's still explosive. Did you see him last week? Against Carolina?
Peyton Manning's still a good player.
So, there we go. That's what he's going to do. Well, Reggie Wayne, did you see him last week? Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis, got to block those guys. That's what it's going to be this week. But Deion Branch trying to prop them up a little bit as the Patriots take care of the Eagles 38-20, move to 8-3, and 3 wins in a row. Check in the emails to webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. John writes in, Adam, best offensive game we've seen from the Patriots in over a month. I did notice Brady wasn't wearing an armband. Do you think that means Jesus, a.k.a. Brady, is back to 100%? Just to interject here, because John continues. I don't think it means he's 100%. I think it means he heard the criticism on radio, internet, and terrestrial. So I lump myself into there with people like me wondering aloud, is Brady healthy? And are these slow starts tied into that elbow tendonitis or what have you? Piggybacked on a report in the Boston Herald this week where Karen Garigian caught up with his quarterback guru, Tom Martinez, saying, yeah, it looks like he's dealing with something. I think Brady said, you know what? I'm tired of hearing about it. We're going to put that to rest. We're going to take off the wrap. So that's pure speculation on my part. But no, I don't think he's 100% over the injury. I just think he got tired of hearing about it. My guess is that injury doesn't go away over the course of, you know, 1 week, especially a short week. But John continues. One last question. Why aren't the Patriots working Vereen more into the offense earlier? With his speed, there were holes he could have exploited that the law firm just can't do. And again, that was John in Los Angeles writing into Web Radio at Patriots.com. I'd like to see more of these younger running backs. And look, Ridley has fallen off a bit after looking great in the preseason and great against Oakland and great in some of those early season games. Seems like Vereen is ahead of him now on the depth chart. Vereen didn't do much today, though. 7 carries, 18 yards. Had a nice end of the game last week against the Chiefs, got into the end zone, averaged over 5 yards a pop, or right around 5 yards a pop. But on Greenell, I thought Greenellis ran well. Like, you look at his numbers, 14 carries, 44 yards, 2 touchdowns. I don't think that shows the impact he had early in that game. Like, the Patriots came out, and on those first 2 drives, he had 10 touches early on in the game. Patriots went with those heavy packages with Solder as a second or third tight end at various points. I thought the Patriots came out, established the run, went away from it because they were throwing all over the Eagles. But part of that is because they established the run early. I do not think those total numbers, and look, it was over 104 yards or 104 yards in the game, over 100 for the Patriots. I don't think those total numbers quite do justice to what the Patriots did on the ground and specifically do justice to what Greenellis did today. I actually thought he was okay.
From that day on, if I was going somewhere, I was running.
I thought they ran okay. I thought they ran okay today. Certainly more damage through the air, but I thought they ran okay. Continuing with the emails to webradio@patriots.com, that's where Bertel writes in from Denmark. Adam, can the defense play much better, and will it be enough to get the Patriots anywhere in the playoffs? That, Bertel, is the million-dollar question with this Patriots defense. And I just remember myself last year saying this. Oh, well, they're not giving up a lot of points. Yes, they're giving up a lot of yards, but they're not giving up points. What else matters? Well, it was proven in the postseason that maybe some of those numbers were inflated. Maybe some of those offenses in the postseason can exploit that defense. I think that was proved last offseason, if not the offseason before, by the way, against the Ravens. So, I don't know. I'm approaching this postseason with a bit more hesitancy than I did last year. Patriots, statistically, right in that same spot. Last year, 19.6 points per game. That was eighth in the NFL. Coming into this game, 20.3, good for 10th. They gave up 20 points this week. I'd imagine they're right in that same vicinity. I don't know. I'm not ready to go all in on that defense yet, and I think most hardcore fans would agree. One more email here to webradio@patriots.com. That's Mike writing in from Carlsbad, California. Adam, I love it when I see the Patriots play a full 60 minutes. The only thing missing off Brady's jersey is a red cape. I guess all the talk about Brady being all washed up, of course, coming from the usual Jets fans, should be done for now. Or am I wrong? Now, look, I already did my mea culpa, questioning if he's hurt or not. He's clearly not hurt enough where it's affecting him on the football field. I think we can put that to bed. Mike continues. Edelman is getting to be just like Troy Brown. When do you think we'll get Dane Fletcher back? All in all, the D is getting more and more aggressive up front every game since the Steelers game. Yada, yada, yada. On a couple of those points, Edelman, long way to go before he's Troy Brown. Dane Fletcher, I don't know. I would question. He's been out for a long period of time. I'd question if he comes back, what he can give you. And I also question if the defense is really getting better and better since that Steelers game or not. Giants game, they were awful at the end of the game. You know, the Jets game, they were good, but it was against Sanchez. Chiefs game, they were good, but it was against Tyler Palco, who, if you're watching the Sunday night game, looks atrocious again. And then this week, it was against another backup, Vince Young. So again, I just say pump the brakes on that defense. It is the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com, as we do each and every postgame show. Let's go around the division.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Get the latest news and information on the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets. Adam Jones has the latest divisional scores and standings from around the AFC East.
Elimination game today in the AFC East between the Bills and the Jets. The winner would go to 6-5, the loser to 5-6, and for all intents and purposes, really be eliminated. Probably shouldn't come as a shock that the Bills dropped their fourth straight and lose to the Jets in the Meadowlands, 28-24. Mark Sanchez, 4 touchdown passes in that game today, including a 16-yarder to Santonio Holmes with just over a minute left in that game. But the person everybody's talking about, Steve Johnson, and he's taking some heat for his end zone celebration, which, by the way, I found hysterical, where he shot himself in the leg and then did the crashing jet after his touchdown. He's getting criticism for that and apologizing for that. How about he gets some criticism and apologizing for some of the drops he had? Like, Steve Johnson, at the very least, could have got the ball deep into Jets territory at the end of the game. And that drop crippled him. I don't know that he would have gotten the end zone.
Would have gone deep. The 10.
Exactly. I don't want to say he would have got into the end zone, but he would have gone deep into Jets territory.
And if he makes one man miss, he's in the end zone.
And instead, the Bills wind up going to a fourth down play, can't convert, and the Jets wind up winning. They move to 6-5 on the season with a 28-24 victory over the Bills. Next up for them, the Washington Redskins in Washington at 1 o'clock. That Redskins team really reeling, though, despite a victory today over the Seattle Seahawks. The Bills dropped to 5-6 with that loss in New York. Again, their fourth straight. Feels like the wheels are absolutely coming off for that Bills team. Their next game is against the tough Tennessee Titans team at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And then down at the bottom of the division, this happened on Thanksgiving. But the Miami Dolphins nearly pulled it out against the Dallas Cowboys. They fall to 3-8 with a 20-19 loss. Some late heroics by the Cowboys and Tony Romo. Next up for the pesky Dolphins, I might add, the Oakland Raiders at 1 o'clock, who, by the way, they just continue to keep winning. Oakland Raiders pick up another victory today over the Chicago Bears without Jay Cutler. But another win. They're 7th. Is that right, LePan? 7th win for the Raiders.
7-4 for the Oakland Raiders.
They're atop the AFC West, though. Tim Tebow knocking on the door. I will tell you who is dropping off fast in the AFC West. Kansas City Chiefs. We told you. We just touched on Palco a couple of minutes ago. They're losing 10-3 right now to Pittsburgh, but through the first quarter, they were on top. Most of the first quarter, on top 3-0. Then Palko reared his ugly head. Couple of terrible picks. And Patriots fans, if you're watching, remember, that's where the defense started to look good last week against that quarterback. You know, same thing with this week. It's a backup quarterback. Next week, it's going to be Curtis Painter. You know, week after that, what is it, Grossman or Tebow the week after that? It's Grossman the week after that, or John Beck, whoever they decide to start. Then Tebow. And Tebow will be an interesting one for me. Let's see how he keeps playing. Let's see if they keep winning. And then maybe I'll change my tune on that. But otherwise, I've said this before. The only thing we can find out about the Patriots defense over the last, at the time I was saying, 7 weeks of the year, the only thing we can find out about the Patriots defense are bad things. You know, if they lose some of these games or continue to give up points and yardage, then I think that's going to be damning for this Patriots team. I thought a loss to the Eagles today. I wouldn't have excused that. People were saying they're this talented team. I didn't feel that way. I thought a loss would have told you something about the Patriots in a bad way. And instead, they escape with a 38-20 victory over the Eagles. I say escape, convincing 38-20 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. They move to 8-3, one of just three teams at the moment, though the Steelers look like they're about to put one on the Chiefs as well. So let's call it four teams, with the Ravens, also the Steelers, and the Texans with 8 wins atop the AFC. We'll talk to you next Sunday following Patriots-Colts. Bit of a different tenor, I'm sure, to that game this season, with the Colts winless at 0-11. My thanks to Kevin Collins, also to Matt LePan. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on the Patriots postgame show.
This has been the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week. Tuesday through Thursday, starting at noon, it's PFW in progress, Patriots playbook, and the Pete Shepherd Show. Next Sunday, the Patriots are back home to take on the Indianapolis Colts. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. from Gillette Stadium. Please stay tuned for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.